Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Please join me in the prayer found on page 167 in the front part of the hymn book, the second morning prayer on that page. O my crucified Lord Jesus Christ, as the patient Lamb of God, you suffered for me the most shameful death on the cross, and with your precious blood, you redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. I pray you to give me the assurance of this redemption through your word and sacraments, and to direct my heart by your Holy Spirit. Preserve me with your divine love, and hide me this day, both body and soul, in your holy wounds. Wash me from all my sins. Teach me to live a life of good works. And at the end, lead me from this world of sorrow to your eternal joy and glory. Hear me, my faithful Savior, my only comfort, hope, and life, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading for our meditation today is the standard gospel lesson for yesterday, Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. One Saturday when I was in seventh grade, I went over to find one of my best friends, hoping to play some baseball or something that day. And I found him out in a garden, a big garden that his father had recently put in. And he was working away hoeing weeds. And I said to him, come on, let's go play some ball. And he said, no, I got to do some work here. And he said, I've got to hoe this whole garden. And he was so mad at his dad and had thrown off his plans for the day. It was probably going to take him hours. And here his friends wanted to go play some baseball, and he was upset with his father. And I remember he said to me that day, I don't think my dad cares about me at all. I don't think my dad even loves me. And I remembered being shocked by that statement. I knew his dad. But right at that moment in his life, just because of what he was going through and the work he was being expected to do, it was hard to convince him that his dad really cared about him. Sometimes love can come in packaged in ways that is unexpected. The text in front of us is really a beautiful example of that. This woman knows enough about Jesus, despite being a foreigner from a pagan land. She expects him to show her mercy. She's probably heard stories of miracles he's done and ways he's helped so many people. She knows he has the power to heal her daughter. She doesn't go and ask anybody else in the crowd. And there's an image in her mind about Jesus that she's appealing to. Lord, she calls him the Son of David. That's an indication of a knowledge of Jesus' heritage and that he really is the Son of God. And she specifically now seeks him out. She's very focused on just getting his attention. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And we can kind of picture her following him through the streets as he's going along with this entourage. She says, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Just imagine what that would be like. And if there's anything that's going to tug on somebody's heartstring, it's watching a parent having to deal with that. Just think of that demon possession for your child. And here she comes to Jesus, pleading with him. And the Jesus that we see in our text dealing with her is just not what we expect. This is such a foreign-sounding Jesus to us. Every once in a while, we see this in Christ, where he deals with somebody in a way that maybe we wouldn't quite expect. We're told, first of all, he answered her not a word. He just ignores her. What? This is Jesus, the Jesus we know who can be so tender to people. He ignores her. And think how gently he had handled so many other cases of people in trouble and difficulty. And I don't know, was he in a bad mood that day? Was there something going on that we're unaware of? Doesn't even seem to give her the time of day. Not even the common courtesy of addressing her. He doesn't even say, please leave me alone. Just silence. So think of this poor lady. Her daughter's demon-possessed. We don't see her husband in the picture. I don't know if she has one here, but following Jesus, dropping to her knees, pleading for his attention. She is a believer in an unbelieving nation, probably rather isolated. And what does he do? He just keeps walking through the streets. He doesn't even stop to apparently appear to even be listening to her. And it gets to such a point that the disciples just are sick of it. Send her away, for she cries out after us. Have you ever been around an annoying person that's just constantly trying to get someone's attention and they don't want to do anything? Send her away, for she cries out after us. Sometimes when we make appeals to God and pray to him earnestly, sometimes even in the most difficult moments, it would appear that our requests to God fall on deaf ears. And he can seem to kind of act sort of cold toward us. And on the surface, sometimes God can seem rather distant or aloof, and the plans and dreams that we maybe hope to have for our life just aren't quite working out the way that we wanted. And maybe we're dealing with some disappointments and things right now. And it's easy to think in those times, well, God's just not even listening. He's not even paying attention to me. Where is this God that's supposed to love me and care about me and help me work through my life and all of this? And it's at moments like this when we have to be very, very careful spiritually to run into these types of challenging moments. Because it's at this time when our sinful flesh and the devil likes to tempt us with thoughts that believing in Christ is worthless. It's meaningless. It doesn't really benefit us. It doesn't help us at all. Or worse yet, maybe there's not even a God up there listening at all. For this woman, it actually seems to get worse. How cold the response is that Jesus then gives her. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. A dog? It would be easy for her to take in that statement from Jesus, this is what you think of me? It's pretty harsh. But notice she doesn't give up. She doesn't give up on the warm, loving Jesus that she knows about. She doesn't give up on what she knows from the Word of God about this Savior she's trusting in. And in her faith and her persistent faith, she keeps looking for this Christ that she knows to love. Even though it would appear on the surface that Jesus is saying to her, I don't really care about you. She clings to his word. She clings to the knowledge she already has about this wonderful Savior, even though Jesus appears to be dissing her. One commentator put it this way, she will not even let Jesus talk her out of her faith in him. I love that. She will not even let Jesus talk her out of faith in him. And concealed inside of Jesus, apparent dismissing of her, inside of his words is a little bit of hope and comfort, and she finds it. Jesus, of course, doesn't directly call her a dog, but she's willing to take that title, dog, and put it to herself. She's perfectly willing to be in that position as long as she can find the crumbs of his mercy. And she kind of, if you will, catches Jesus in his own words. And Jesus finally turns and opens up his heart to her. Martin Luther said about this text that through this whole process, Jesus is like a hunter trying to find faith and to make sure to chase down her faith and to bring that out in her. And he finally says to her, woman, great is your faith. The Holy Spirit put this story in the Bible for you and me to give us comfort and encouragement when we are in times where it would appear that God seems to have forgotten about us. God would not have you go to your feelings to find out what he thinks about you or to find out whether you really have his grace. Don't evaluate your condition or your lot in life as a way to determine what God thinks about you. That's a very tempting proposition. Don't seek the advice of the world as to what it might think about God when you are in difficulty, challenges, and trouble. Instead, God always sends you back to his word and his promises. He always sends you back to his sacraments, the solid things where he has demonstrated to you that you are his child, that he loves you, that he forgives you in Christ, and that he has the hope of heaven still waiting for you. Stay with what you already know about him, just like this blessed woman. My friend, who thought his dad didn't love him that day, I know years later, if I were to talk to him about it, would have said, no, I was wrong. My dad clearly did care about me, and he even saw the extra work that his dad maybe made him do as part of his father's love for him as well. A day is finally coming. You may see it in this life, but if not, you will for sure see it in heavenly life, when we will clearly see that even the most difficult days we had to work through in this world were part of God's wonderful love for us. And he never did forget about us, and he always had what was best in mind for us. And in heaven, we may find out that the things you and I prayed the hardest for God to take away from us were actually the things in heaven we might be the most grateful for, because it helped bring out and strengthen the faith we have in this wonderful Savior. Stay with him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we pray for our President Jean Pfeiffer. President Pfeiffer's mother, Joyce Pfeiffer, was called to her eternal home this weekend at age 88. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you on behalf of President Pfeiffer and his family. We thank and praise you for the many blessings that you brought into his life through his mother and her faithful witness of her faith in Christ. We pray that you would be with them in this time of loss and comfort them with the wonderful hope of the reunion of your saints. Give all of us a renewed interest in seeking the wonderful home you have provided for us through Christ. We pray this all in his saving name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.